Its current state for Tuesday. Welcome back. I'm Mark Bayshore. After a marathon session, the Lansing City Council last night approved a budget for the next fiscal year. In the process, the council chose to reject Mayor Virge Brunero's plan to create a new layer of oversight to regulate the Lansing Board of Water and Light. Mr. Brunero proposed establishing the position of Inspector General to review the BWL's procedures to ensure greater accountability at the utility. After hours of debate and several failed attempts to pass amendments, the City Council voted to fund an audit of the BWL by an independent agency. Our first guest proposed several of those amendments to the city budget. Carol Woods, an at-large member of the Lansing City Council, she rejoins us now here on Current State. Good to have you back. Thanks for being here after a marathon session last night, especially.
Good morning. I'm glad to be here. I think the listeners need to understand that at budget time, this is not unusual. I can't remember a budget that there weren't the night that we passed the budget a number of amendments to get through. So, again, this is just part of the process and an opportunity for the public to see how we go about doing legislative business.
And what stood in the way of an earlier consensus last night?
Well, there were a few major issues that council members had wrapped their arms around. One was the ballot proposals that the mayor had introduced dealing with creating an inspector general's position to have a control over the BWL's attorney, as well as limiting contracts and severances. Those were all charter amendments that were recommended by the mayor. There was also a line item that was in his budget for an inspector general position that we were told during the budget process, if the ballot proposals did not go on or were turned down by the voters, that the mayor still intended to fill that position if it was appropriated. And then lastly was an outcry that we heard from the public, and that had to do with code compliance and the fact that there were issues out there that they believe that we needed additional code officers to work with stabilizing neighborhood housing.
So both of these proposals involving the mayor's plan for an inspector general, you basically turned into something else. You basically transformed that into this idea of an audit here. Talk to us about what this audit will accomplish.
Absolutely. I think the majority of council believe that it was redundant to have an inspector general, especially one that was being responsive only to the mayor. What council was looking for was an independent external audit company that would come in and look at operations. Every year, the city council gets a financial audit. We understand where the finances are in the Board of Water and Light. But when you're dealing with an operational audit, that looks from the top down. It looks at commissioners. It looks at management. It also looks at how they establish rates. It looks at the capital programs and project planning. It looks at their maintenance schedule. So those are just a few of the things that are done in an operational audit.
Is the council and the mayor basically in agreement then that more needs to be known about how the Board of Water and Light operates? Do you simply disagree on how you find out?
Is absolutely.
That the goal for both of you is the same.
Absolutely.
Is that an accurate way to put that?
I absolutely.
Okay.
I think you put it in a nutshell.
Okay.
There isn't anyone that doesn't believe that there needs to be some additional inquiry into the Board of Water and Light to solve some of the problems that are there. How we get there and how we know what those problems are what we wrestled with and ended up coming up with money supporting an outside audit.
Let's get just a word from the administration here. Current State caught up with Randy Hannon, Mayor Brunero's chief of staff, last evening. Here's what Mr. Hannon had to say in support of this idea for an inspector general.
These are big issues. They're very complex issues. They're issues that all of us would benefit from having the services of a subject matter expert on a going forward basis, not just for a little while, but not just a one-time snapshot performance audit, but on an ongoing basis, having that level of expertise available to all of us so we can get a look under the hood.
So you're in agreement that everybody needs a better look under the hood. It's just you feel an audit is the better way to go about that.
Correct. And part of that is the fact that when you look at the fact that there is a general manager, there is a board of commissioners. Are we getting the information that we need from them? If not, then we need to look at our appointment process. We need to look at who we're appointing and making sure that, again, from a council and a mayoral perspective, that we're appointing the right people in management at the Board of Water and Light.
How much do you think remains to be learned about the Board of Water and Light and their operations? Do you feel like a competent audit would really reveal an awful lot of things that you don't already know?
I think it would put to bed what some of the rhetoric is out there. Are there issues? If so, how can we address them? If there aren't issues, then stating that there aren't issues and moving forward from there. None of us have said that we are so diametrically opposed to a inspector general once we receive information. At this point, we don't have the data to justify an inspector general position at this point.
You were unsuccessful in, I take it you supported this idea for another code compliance officer for the city?
Yes, I did.
And that did not come to pass, correct?
No, it didn't.
What happened?
There were council members that didn't want to add to our structural deficit by having legacy costs added by adding employees. I understand that. Premise at this particular time, listening to the financial health team and some of the concerns that they had in adding additional staff right now. For me, I have always supported code compliance and what it does to instill accountability in neighborhoods, to work with the housing stock, to allow the property values to increase. But unfortunately, the votes weren't there.
The city falling behind on inspections? And I mean, they're playing catch up.
Well, currently we have 33,766 rental units in the city of Lansing. If I were a landlord that received my certificate and it was time to get reinspected, I come in and pay that inspection fee, it's almost 3 weeks before I can count on getting an inspection. If I were a new property owner that was making a new rental property or an unregistered rental that had been discovered, you go in there and you pay your fee and you're looking at around 6 weeks. When you are going from inspection to inspection, you're not able to go back and do some of the re-inspections, some of the concerns that we heard from the public. Also, with that, you're not able to do some problem solving because, again, you're running from inspection to inspection, and it's driven by the money that is made with each one of those inspections to help fund this department.
Carol Wood is our guest and at-large member of the Lansing City Council. We're talking about last night's council meeting, after which finally produced an approved 2015-16 budget. So a BWL audit to the tune of $200,000. No code compliance officer. That went down. Some money went to the rainy day fund. How much and why? Why was that a priority?
There in the mayor's budget was $500,000 that went into the rainy day fund. There was no additional money that council transferred into the rainy day fund. The line item that we looked at, again, was the $200,000 that was for the inspector general. What we did was move it into an audit. And then we also created an ad hoc committee on housing that would look at rental housing and land contracts. With the amendment for the Board of Water and Light, before the administration can hire a audit company, 3/5 of the council has to approve that company. So we'll have some oversight in how that moves forward.
NioWave is back in the news lately. There's been an on-again, off-again dispute between the tech company and residents of the Walnut neighborhood. Some things happened last week regarding some material that was FOIA'd from Bob Trezise's economic development organization. What's the latest there?
The neighbors have been quite adamant that they do not believe that NioWave kept their contract with the neighborhood and with the city and finished the building and made appropriate facade changes to it. Where we are is we've been told that we do not have the ability to rescind that tax abatement. In talking with the State Tax Commission and the person in charge of that, the recommendation that I was given was that council could go through the exercise of rescinding the tax abatement and allowing the State Tax Commission to make that decision. And I will be introducing a resolution on June 8th to have that done.
Okay, very good. Can the mayor do anything to alter, to back up to the budget here, can the mayor do anything to alter what the council accomplished last night?
The mayor has until Thursday at 5 p.m. to send to the clerk a veto. At that time, it goes to council, and 6 votes of council can override a veto.
And do you anticipate that to happen, or do you anticipate?
It's hard to tell. I know the mayor has been adamant about the inspector general position and whether he's willing to compromise. I know council has, and where we are in putting, not taking it completely off the table, but making sure that there was some accountability by doing an audit.
Carol, a long session last night. Thank you for being here today. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Carol Wood serves on the Lansing City Council. We're talking about the City of Lansing's proposed 2015-16 budget on Current State.